on this most sacred day of Sri Radhashtami, the appearance in this world of Srimati Radharani, we may request the ardent devotees of Vaikunthanath, Lakshmi Narayana, and we may request the devotees who are very much attached to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Ramachandra, and we may request the devotees who worship Krishna in his opulent abode of Dwarka, at least on this day. You may take cognizance of, or even better, bow in the dust of Srimati Radharani's feet. We're not saying that you give up that position. You can remain aware. Anyway, who's going to listen to all this talk? Such people are not going to listen, such devotees. We worship you for your devotion, but we simply request, on this day, please worship the air that blows from the direction in which Srimati Radharani has walked. Please give all respect to Vrindavan Dham, Radha Padankita Dham, Jarna Vrindavan. Vrindavan is principally defined by being the place, some will say, where Krishna places his lotus footprints. All right, very good. But at least Bhaktivinoda Thakur has defined Vrindavan, that place. What is the place known as Vrindavan? If you go there, you will see the impressions of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. She is this supreme goddess. You may not accept. Who will accept? In this world, people think Durga is the supreme goddess. Parameshwari, she is known as that. Generally, when we say Parameshwara, of course, the chaste wives, they see their husband, Pati Parameshwara, as being the representative of God. But in terms of deities in this world, the term Parameshwara is usually applied to Lord Shiva, and Parameshwari to his dear, chaste, devoted wife, who we worship. We also worship Shiva, Parvati. And there are so many demigods who are worshipped. So we request the worshippers of various demigods, just at least for one moment on this day, turn your attention to this supreme goddess, and you may even bow down in the direction of her lotus feet. And then what to speak of those who are busy with so many activities in this world? What's going on in the world? What are the economic ups and downs? What are the political ups and downs? What are the military ups and downs? What are the meteorological ups and downs? Who died? Someone, famous person, had children. All the world is going on, forgetting Krishna. Very hard to know Krishna. Krishna is non-different from Radha. She is non-different from him. They're inseparable. She is very compassionate. How can we turn the attention of the people of the world? We want ultimately to turn their attention to Radha. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaurya Vaishnava, what does that mean? Generally, it's taken to mean the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaurya means of Bengal. Well, that's true, but more insight if we have, we'll know that the term Vaishnav is a general term for those who accept Vishnu as supreme. Vishnu asya devata. Vishnu asya devata iti Vaishnava. That is the dictionary definition. Who has Vishnu as their worshipable god is known as a Vaishnava. Karshna, there is another term, which is generally used to refer to the family members of Krishna. But it's quite applicable also to say that Karshna means devotee of Lord Krishna. And Gaurya means a worshipper of Sri Radha, not to the exclusion of Krishna. There's no question of exclusion of Krishna. Just as we cannot have Lakshmi without Narayana, we cannot have Radha without Krishna. She has no existence beyond his existence, which is maybe why when in the streets of Vrindavan, as Srila Prabhupada would walk, and people would call out to him, Jai Radhe, he would reply, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna means calling out to Radha and Krishna. They will be happy together, not separated. We don't worship her separately. There's no question of worshipping her separately. So we can request all the people of the world, who is listening? Who will hear these things? We have to distribute Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. He very much wanted this book distributed. It's amazing. If we think about it, he was newly in America. One of the first books he translated was what we call the Krishna book. The title is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Srila Prabhupada termed as a summary study of the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. But it's more than a summary. It's more than a summary. It gives all the pastimes with blended commentary. In English prose. So Srila Prabhupada wanted this distributed to people who, many of them, especially in the, when would that be, late 1960s, very late 1960s and early 1970s, most people had never heard of Krishna. So he wanted to distribute these books so that people can at least hear of Krishna and Radha. In those books are the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted them distributed. He thought that the people of the world should know this. How can they know it? Even the so many great munis and rishis cannot know even who is Krishna. Or even if they attempt, they can't go near. Vedeshu durlabham Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayora tapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yat prabhadasimya vinchintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. He's the best of the great munis by performing their difficult yoga process over tremendous extent of time, can hardly even reach within the vicinity of the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the original person who is Govinda. He is avichintya tatve. Even if one is very expert at transcendental meditation and cultivating spiritual knowledge, he still remains completely inconceivable. And then Radha tatva, she's on another level of inconceivability altogether. We're already ruled out by Krishna being so inconceivable. Well, I guess there are not degrees of inconceivability. It's like it's a word, something like unique or impossible. If there's any degree of possibility, then it's not impossible. So inconceivable. But still, as in Sanskrit, we have the words degrees of superlativity. So we have, for instance, aradhya, worshipable, aradhyata, more worshipable, and aradhyatam, most worshipable. So there is inconceivable, more inconceivable, mostly inconceivable. But Srila Prabhupada wanted this distributed because he had great faith that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to give this, Dino Hino Joto Chilo Hariname Udharilo, the fallen people, they're saved by the Harinam, and not only saved, because the holy name, Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, the effect of that, Jare Jap, Hare Krishna Maham, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Eto Shabhav, Jejape Tare Krishna Upajai Bhav. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna mantra that one Krishna Nama Mahamantra, whoever chants the name of Krishna, he attains automatically feelings for Krishna arise within him. So similarly, what is that? Narottam Thakur sings, Krishna naam gane pai Radha charane pai, Radha name pai Krishna chandra. He sings that by chanting the name of Krishna, we can attain to the lotus feet of Radha. And by chanting the name of Radha, we can attain Krishna Chandra. So all perfect. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We shall distribute these books and we shall ask people to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. They have no idea what they're doing. What are we doing? It's so far above us, but we're doing it on the order of Srila Prabhupada. We're asking people to chant Hare Krishna. And the result is, ultimately, they will attain to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That was the faith with which Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness. So especially on this day. Actually, the topics of Radha are very, very carefully to be protected. Even the goddess of the home, the Griha Lakshmi, I'm talking about what we may say, the mundane women, but in they're to be protected. There was a long time ago, I heard this, that some Muslim gentleman was asked, why do you have your women all covered? And why do you keep them at home? And he said, what you value the most, you protect. It's protection. So Radha, she's protected by Krishna. And also we are cautious in approaching, as our acharyas have warned us, to protect ourselves from misunderstanding, from familiarity breeds contempt, so that we may properly approach her by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And although Radha lives in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada established her presence so that we may worship her in so many temples all over the world. Does that mean that Srila Prabhupada took Radha and Krishna out of Vrindavan? Are the words of Shastra true? untrue. No, Srila Prabhupada brought Vrindavan with him, and therefore when he established Radha and Krishna, he established Vrindavan in all the, just like we have that Radha Landanishwara temple in the heart of the, just actually it's just at the edge of the most hellish part of that hellish city, London. Don't be angry with me if you think I'm insulting London. Srila Prabhupada himself referred to London as hellish. And actually this whole material world is hellish. But Radha and Krishna are there in London and New York and Los Angeles, Rukmini Dwarkadish, who Srila Prabhupada referred to as Radha Krishna. His name is Dwarkadish, but he's got a flute. What's that? Oh, Satyabhama is surprised, in anxiety. So everywhere, Srila Prabhupada brought Vrindavan. He wanted the world to come to Vrindavan to worship Krishna Balaram, Radha Krishna. So on this day, this precious jewel, we bring out. We don't bring out. She has very kindly appeared in this world. And we glorify to the best of our extremely limited capacity. Just like the prattling of a child. But even the prattling or the funny noises a child makes, the parents become pleased. That, oh, at least they're big. At the stage that the child is at, that is very pleasing because it means they're just learning to speak. So we can just begin to speak. And for an adult to speak like a child is laughable, although you're not supposed to laugh in these days of being politically correct at anything, practically. But it's a foolishness. Maybe a comedian does it to imitate some foolishness, makes people laugh. So the devotees, they may laugh to hear an attempt to glorify Radha from someone so uniquely unqualified but not disqualified, because by the mercy of the acharyas, just like we may laugh at the child making funny noises, but it's a laugh of pleasure, it's a happy laugh that the child is now beginning to talk. So we'll attempt to say something about the glories of Srimati Radharani, the supreme worshipable goddess. And the Vaikunthavasis may think, how can that be? Our most worshipable Lakshmi, she lives in the most glorious palace in the midst of the greatest opulence. There cannot be anything more than this. It's right there in Shastra. There cannot be anything more than this. There cannot be anything more opulent. They're in the certain kind of mentality that opulence is the measure of one's superiority, and no one can be more opulent than Lakshmi Narayana. There is a whole discussion on this topic between Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar Goswami about the relative positions of Lakshmi and Radha, of Vaikuntha and of Vrindavan, that is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, one whole chapter. I believe that's the 14th chapter. Whatever. There is a whole discussion in which Srivash Thakur, taking the side of the Vaikunthavasis, is thoroughly defeated in comparative discussion by Swarup Damodar Goswami. What kind of palace does Radha live in? What kind of goddess is she? She's a forest dweller. Oh, a forest. Forest goddess. Yeah, okay, well, the forest goddess. There are so many forest goddesses in all the forests of the world. Scientists don't see them, so they don't believe in them. Sylvan deities. She's a forest goddess. And they're worshipped by village people who live at the edge of the forest, or maybe there's a village within the forest. They worship, that's all right for them, but we have to go up beyond that. Up, 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 all the way to Lakshmi, Narayana. No, this is not an ordinary forest goddess. She is her palace, the groves of Vrindavan. We have to tell you. No, we won't tell you, because you won't be able to understand that even the trees and grass in Vrindavan, they're in a better, higher spiritual position than the most exalted of the Vaikuntha devotees. And we shouldn't announce to them. They'll feel insulted and offended, but actually it's a fact, because the grass... Well, there you have the evidence. Uddhava, topmost devotee in Dwaraka, he wants to become some grass in Vrindavan so he can get the gopis' feet on his head. Sometimes they may walk on his head. The trees, well, a tree, that's a condemned existence, not in Vrindavan. The trees combinedly perform the service of making the forests of Vrindavan. There are so many forests in Vrindavan. We have the 12 main forests and then the Upavanas, and there's so many of them now. They still have the name Bandhiravan and so many. But there are no trees. The trees are very dear to Radha and Krishna. The trees, they perform great service by making it possible for Radha and Krishna to not be seen by those who they don't want to be seen by. The Radha and Krishna know the forest paths through the trees, and the trees arrange themselves so that there are openings, some clearances. They're the forest groves in which Radha and Krishna perform pastimes. So even the trees of Vrindavan, they partake. We may say, well, tree in the spiritual world, that must be Shantaras, but they're serving the Madhurya Ras of Radha and Krishna, the grass in which they dance together. They're all serving. Everyone in Vrindavan is serving Madhurya Rasa. All of them, directly or indirectly, all are serving. So her forest is a palace. She also, palaces are the far exceeding in opulence, even Vaikuntha, which is unimaginable. It's inconceivable, raised to the power of inconceivable, we can simply say. We can't understand. If we think we understand, we don't understand. We can simply speak of it and be amazed. amazed at the mercy that is coming down. She is so high. We are so, so, so far below. But we shouldn't be envious. That is the disease in the material world. We are envious. If we see someone is in an exalted position, our tendency is to be envious. Even we may worship various demigods, but we think, I'll do some pious activities, I'll become a demigod. We respect people who are of high birth, Janmaishwarya, Shruta, Shri. We respect people who are of high birth, who are very rich, who are very learned and intelligent, who are very good looking. We respect. They've got the good karma in this life. So they're worthy of respect. We're not Marxists who want to pull down everything and make everything all the same. And anyone who has any advantage, we want to stomp them under our grimy feet. No, we respect. Different people have different opulences. And that's the position they've attained by their pious activities. They're in a better position materially than myself. So we respect that. But we're thinking, well, in the future, I will also attain such a position, and we'll be happy to be respected by others. But a Vaishnava, Nirabhiman, that term is used. He's without this material egoism. When we become very ambitious, when our envy, which is the nature of this material world, becomes expanded exponentially, then we want to become God by the idea of merging into the existence of God and making ourselves God. That's extremely envious. This quasi-spiritual idea of becoming one with God. So we shouldn't be envious. Vaishnavism means non-envy, not envying Krishna, worshipping him. So we shouldn't be envious of Radha. She's so beautiful. If we praise, we may praise. Oh, that girl is so beautiful. Everything about her is so beautiful. Her lips, her face, her skin, her hair. Everything about her is so beautiful. Her water pot breasts, that's the common example given. Everything about her is so beautiful. So one woman in this world, materialistic woman, if they hear another woman being praised for her beauty, their tendency is to become envious. But we should not be envious of Radha. That is the greatest spiritual mistake possible. We should laud her for her greatness. And no, we're trying to serve Krishna. We'll never be able to serve her at the level that she serves Krishna. Even if we try, we're infinitely far behind. And even if we try to catch up, it's like the snail trying to catch up with the hare, but the hare is running further and further ahead all the time. And this isn't Aesop's fables, because the hare doesn't take a rest so that the tortoise can catch up and go ahead. A story to, a fable to demonstrate the possible triumph of perseverance over ability without application. So Radharani does not lack application. She's always running further and further ahead of us. So what shall we do? Don't be envious. If we can think to serve to serve Radha. But then, yeah, to serve Radha. Hoibo Radhar Dashi. Dhamera Sharub Shuribe Nayane Hoibo Radhar Dasi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described the whole process of how by serving the Dham, Kabe Gaurabane, Shuradhuni Torte, Ha Radhe, Ha Krishna Bale, how by serving the Dham of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Navadri Dham, with complete nirabhiman, completely giving up all sense of worldly honor, calling out the names of Radha and Krishna, then the Dham will reveal himself, herself, to us. And then we can begin to think about being the servant, maidservant of Radha. And he has a whole series of songs in which he describes his siddhi lalasa, his longing for this perfection. So we do not, we should not be envious of Krishna. Don't be envious of Radha. Her position as the greatest servitor of Krishna. She is the greatest. She is the role model for us all, but we cannot become her. We can become her servant. Or more accurately, she already has her servants. She already has. Then what shall we do? Well, then we should try to become the servants of her servants. Don't be envious of the servants of Radha. But then that position is already taken. So it becomes, what is it, infinite regress. We have to become the servant of the servant of the servant. Gopi Bhatur Padakamalaya Dasudasanudasaha. The servant of the servant, so many times removed, of the gopis, who are the maidservants of Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. So I may think, well, I'll never get anywhere near Krishna. I'll never get anywhere near Radha and Krishna. No, that's not true, because they are inconceivable and inconceivably merciful, and they will give us the opportunity that we can personally serve them, but via the agency of other devotees. You may say, well, that's not direct. And then material logic may not apply here. Actually, it's not such a difficult thing to understand. The devotees, they will bring, here's a new maidservant for you, Radha. So, all right, you engage her. So the servant gopis, servants of Radha, they'll be very kind and engage us in her service. So via her agency, we may do. Anything? Oh, well, I'm still, I have to be honest, I got so many bad things in the heart and it seems very hard to get rid of. But that day will come that we have to keep the faith. That samutkanta, this ashabhara samutkanta. We have to keep the faith that even though I'm so fallen, that possibility is there. I'm not outside their possibility. It's the statement of Shastra. I cannot parade my inability to be more than the words of Shastra. It is the desire of Krishna. He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes to deliver us. We can be delivered. We have to keep that faith. Impossible, yes. But Krishna, who can lift Govardhan Hill, who can hold all the planets, He can remove all the dirty things in our heart. And actually, he's God, but his wife is more merciful. As God, he has to punish, maybe not directly. It may be a thankless task. But just like the king gives the order, chop off his head, capital punishment. And the wife may privately say to him, the wife has no official administrative position, but just privately she says, and be a little kind, don't do that. Oh, then he won't show. The king won't show. Well, actually, my wife said, he'll just say, okay, let him off. Yeah. It appears that the king is being very merciful. But just that, he's submissive to the desire of his wife. The desire may not be. The wife, she's just saying, be a little merciful. The desire may not be on the platform of justice. It may be that this person is deserving capital punishment. Of course, we have the understanding that it's the mercy of the king to give capital punishment in certain circumstances. I'm just giving this as an example. The wife may be very merciful. Her mercy overrides the justice. And even all the ministers may come and say, well, we presented the case. It's according to the law. This man should be hanged. It's all clear. It's all decided. But it's the king's prerogative to overrule even what is in the law. But his tendency, because he's the king, he has to administer justice, is to be strict. So we're very grateful to the whole Strijati, the whole race or the whole half of humanity, for the women who are very merciful, maybe not so logical in their understanding, but just for what reason? What reason? For what reason should a mother suckle her child? What does she get from it? There's no reason, no logic. She doesn't think logically. Now I'm going to suckle my child, and she just does it. It's automatic. So that is a reflection of the original mercy of Srimati Radharani. Therefore we worship Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana Radha Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. This is God, come, but with the feelings of Radha, very merciful, very, very merciful. And even he is very strict sometimes. He has to be, because he's the acharya, head of the sampradaya. But then we can go to his devotees. He'll never see Prataparudra. He'll leave all his devotees before he'll see Prataparudra. But eventually, they soften him up. The devotees are more kind than Krishna. Because Krishna, being God, he has to sometimes, well, actually most of the time, he has to be God. There's no meaning to being God. There's no meaning to being God unless you exercise the prerogative of God. You have to do your job, right? That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that, well, I have to do my job too. I'm telling you, Arjuna, to do your job, but I do my job. I oversee all the worlds. I maintain all the order. If I didn't do it, there'd be chaos. I have to do it. So Krishna has to do it. Radha doesn't think in terms of what is my job, what is right, what is wrong. She simply loves Krishna. And she loves all living beings. She comes as Lord Chaitanya. She is Krishna, come to relish the feelings of Radha. But she comes in this world and moves among people, and her compassionate nature, seeing the suffering condition of people of this world, she, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply wants to give out mercy, mercy, mercy. There's no reason why the Supreme Lord should come and lift up the most fallen. Rather, they should be condemned, as he states in Bhagavad Gita, Tanahang Dushita Krurang Sangsaresha Narada Kshipyami Ajasam Ashubham. They deserve it. Murha Janmani Janmani. They're thrown to the worst species, birth after birth after birth. So that's what God has to do. But we are so fortunate. Otherwise the idea of Christianity, that's, you see, in Christianity, they don't know about Radha. They don't know about the wife of God. They only know the God who sends you to hell. You go there and stay there forever. They don't know he has a wife who is more kind. We should go to hell forever. We deserve it. But there's the compassionate female compassionate nature, Radha. No, all right, they have to go to hell anyway. Anyway, you go to hell, he did this, he did this, he did this, there's a whole list. Chitragupta has going crazy trying to write it all down at every moment, all the sinful things. Anyway, I don't care. And what do you do? The husband is trying to explain and the wife doesn't care for any logic. Just do what I say. That's all. He has to comply. So we're very, very grateful. And it's a very dire situation in the world when the women become so harsh and hard that they will kill their own children. And they see the nastiness of men, and in response they want to be more nasty. I see this whole feminist movement, it's all complete nonsense. The women could have got what they wanted and much more and much better if they'd simply expanded and developed their feminine nature. Then they can control the men and get whatever they want without any hard work. But instead they've degraded themselves abysmally, and the whole of, and then Arjuna says at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Strishu Dushtashu Varshnaya Jayate Varna Sankara. When the women become degraded, then the whole society becomes degraded. Now, these things we can think of also as we are worshipping Sri Radha. She is the ultimate woman. Actually, the model for this world is Lakshmi, Sita. They're models for women of this world. The model, just like Krishna should not be imitated, Radha should not be imitated. But we worship her. For us, her extremely compassionate nature is our only hope, and that is manifested through the Vaishnavas, their mercy. Again, the Vaishnavas, they have to be strict. Mercy doesn't always mean forgiving. If it was always forgiving, then there would be there'd be nothing to forgive. There'd be no law, there'd be no order, it's simply bedlam. But Radha doesn't overstep the position of Krishna. She doesn't make it all so-called mercy. She's also intelligent, but she sees, oh, this one should be saved. There's little bit of inclination, something there. Or it may be just the opposite. They're so bad, you have to deliver them. Just like Nityananda Prabhu thought. These Jagai and Madhai are so bad. Then they should be delivered. Let us show the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today by delivering Jagai and Madhai. Let people see what is his mercy. That they do not at all deserve to be delivered, but they let them be delivered anyway. So what is it about Sri Radha? What is the quality that we are praising? Krishna himself is praising. What is it? We hear of the beauty of her lotus feet, the beauty of everything, so beautiful, so kind, so gentle, sometimes not gentle, as is required for the pastimes of love. She is Prema Swarupini, the very embodiment of Prem, pure love. Krishna is Prema Swarup, the male form of pure love. And she is Prema Swarupini, the female form. But the female form of love is going to love more than the male form, because Krishna is ontologically stuck in the position of being the vishay, or the subject of the love of every being in existence. So he is the one to be loved. Radha is the vishaya of Krishna's love, but she is Shakti and he is Shaktiman. She is the energy and he is the powerhouse, the source of all energy. Of course, they're so intimately connected that they are as if one, Shakti Shaktimator Abhedaha. But this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the very fact that her love for him, it must exceed his for her. She loves all living beings, but she has no duty to do so. She's not bound to do so. That just overspills because Krishna, he's duty bound to love all living beings. That's his dharma. Jivesvarup hoy Krishna nitya das. The eternal position of the jiva is to be the servant of Krishna. So that means that Krishna's eternal duty is to be the master of all the jivas. But Radha's only duty is to love, not duty, it's this, or her role, her position in everything, in the whole huge picture. Her position is simply to love Krishna. But her love, even though unlimited and increasing all the time, she's got plenty of it also to share with all living beings. Her love for Krishna means she only wants Krishna's happiness. So she knows Krishna is unhappy seeing the jivas away from him. And she wants Krishna's service to be expanded more and more. So she wants to bring more and more jivas to serve him, although she's fully capable herself, more than capable, of satisfying Krishna in all respects. She has strong desire to bring every living being to him. So that is her love. She is defined by love. As I was saying, we speak of the beauty of Radha, her so many qualities, her dancing charms Krishna, her singing, her playing musical instruments, her cooking, everything. She pleases the senses of Krishna in all ways. So all put together is the whole attitude of love. Srila Prabhupada writes in his preface to, or introduction to, the Nectar of Instruction, which brings us all away from not controlling the senses, all the way up to Radha Kund. And Srila Prabhupada writes therein that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. So attitude means we want to get little drop of mercy from Radha, who loves Krishna. The love attitude. It's so different to the exploitation attitude or the love of this material world attitude. The love that Radha has. Well, in this material world also, what is love? Love means simply to act for the benefit, for the pleasure of the object of love. Sri Radha embodies and enshrines the principle that it is better to love than be loved. Better to give than to receive. There are some people, they want to, well, everyone wants to be loved. They crave love. They want someone to look after them and be sympathetic to them. And there are different aspects of love. Maybe satisfy their carnal desires. You need somebody to love. Jefferson Airplane song. You need somebody to love. We need somebody to love. I need someone to love. That means the attitude is wrong from the very beginning. I need someone to love. I need someone. Doesn't matter who it is, but I have that emotional feeling that I want to be loved. But the love of Radha and Krishna is on a different platform. Radha doesn't think, well, I want love, so I love Krishna and he'll love me. But she simply thinks what he wants, that's all. Aslishava padaritang pinashtu mama darshanan marmahatam karotu va yata tata va vidata tu lampato mat prana natas tu sa eva na paraha. Radha's mood is encaptured in this verse, that what he wants, that is what I want. I don't want him to run off with some other woman. I don't want that. Why? Because I know that no woman can satisfy him in the same way that I do. But if he wants to go with another woman and she doesn't want to go with him, I will go to her house and become a maidservant and make her feel indebted to me so that I can implore her, please go to Krishna. This is Radha, completely selfless, selfless love. Some people in this world have at least seemingly understood this principle. Famous in recent times is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Now, I'm just talking about the principle as it's understood here. I think there's a lot of hype about her, actually. But at least seemingly, she loved in as much as she gave herself to others for not wanting anything in return. She went to so many difficulties to help people in need. Actually, it's all on the bodily platform. But anyway, it's a perverse reflection of the love of the spiritual world. But the idea, just giving ourselves, and then we feel satisfaction in their gratefulness. Is that right? And then we feel, not even that. Radha says, even if you trample me under your foot, you reject me, you don't even show yourself to me. Adarshanam marmahatam karo tuva. Even by, you won't even come anywhere near me and you'll break my heart in this way. Still my love for you will not decrease by even a grain. So this is love, just completely focused on satisfying the lover and or the loved, the object of love, the vishaya, the object. So Krishna, sometimes he appears to be very cruel to Radha, but in doing so, because these are all very complex transcendental pastimes, we shouldn't be too presumptuous that we can understand the psychology of God. But in doing so, he announces her glory more and more and more. That first thing, she won't give him up. She may make a show of doing so. She may be even very serious about it. But then her assistants, they patch it up. How glorious are the gopi assistants of Sri Radha in these pastimes of love, prema vivarta, the transformations of love. How glorious are the assistants of Radha. That even Krishna appears ungrateful, but there's no question of Radha being separated from Krishna. She may even say, I'll never see you again. You get out from here. These are recorded. Again, these are not topics that can be understood by mundane sentiment. These are not topics that can be understood by piety, by performing religious activities. It's only possible by some great mercy, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now offering. So real love means just wanting to give yourself wholly. But we have to know where to give it also. Even if we say someone gives themselves wholly, they sacrifice their life for their country. So many soldiers have died gloriously, sacrificing their life for their country. I mean, gloriously, but uselessly. There's no ultimate benefit to anyone. We have to know the object of love. That's why we have Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate, Krishna says. Everything comes from me. From me everything is produced. We just understand this. We're dependent on him. We have the propensity to love. Don't misplace it. Our greatest treasure, if we misplace it, how anxious we should be to get it back. So our greatest treasure, the only thing which is of any meaning in our existence, is to love. But specifically that means to love Krishna. Love has to be centered on Krishna. But if we misplace that and we think that love is supposed to be for some bag of flesh, I am a bag of flesh and I want to love another bag of flesh, or I love my country, it's all misplaced. Noble sentiments, there may be. Of course, desiring to exploit another body is not noble, but sacrificing one's life for the cause, for the nation, this is all noble. Uselessly, uselessly noble, as we fall on the battlefield of Flanders, and with that body we do some benefit to the next generation of farmers by our body decomposing and under the, no one even knows under the mud where it is, and then it decomposes and makes very fertile soil. What is the use? So then people can eat highly nutritious bread, so they become very strong and perform more activities in forgetfulness of Krishna. So we have to understand Bhagavad Gita. We're talking Radha, Radha Katha. We have to begin with Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, hear all these talks, don't understand anything, misunderstand everything, then let's go back to Bhagavad Gita. Try to understand what is our position. There's some level of understanding has to be there. Otherwise, there'll be misunderstanding. There's so many possibilities to misunderstand. There is one party of devotees in Vrindavan. They worship Radha without Krishna. Radha Ballabhi. The Sampradaya. We only worship Radha. We don't care for any scripture, and whatever it may be. We just love Radha. It's just like the gopis. They don't know any scripture. They just love Radha. But it's meaningless to love Radha without Krishna. Her prem is not in... prem, the whole meaning of her love is for Krishna. But it's not just her. Her love for Krishna is not in some vacuum or packed away. Others also love Krishna. Vrajarasa is the highest, but it's not the only rasa. Krishna also loves Arjuna. He enjoys virarasa in killing the demons. Of course, there's virarasa in Vrindavan, but in a different way, in pastimes, in a very innocent kind of way, in pastimes of love. And of course, some demons come to Vrindavan, seemingly. It's a different mood. Krishna is multifaceted. He also enjoys in Dwarka. He also enjoys as Vaikunthanath. He also enjoys as Rama. He's the supreme enjoyer in whatever position he's in. But then we look and see, his supreme enjoyment eclipsing all the other modes of enjoyment together is with Radha in Vrindavan. But it's not that others are excluded from love of Krishna. There are demons who are against Krishna, but they're also saved by him. That is his mercy. He comes as Rama and Krishna and kills so many demons that he has this virarasa, being a great hero and killing the demons. Sometimes demons enter in Vrindavan and Krishna, just like in sport, like children, they play games. He kills the demons, but that's not the sthayi bhav. That's not the standard mood in Vrindavan. Elsewhere, the very attractive pastimes of Krishna. Krishna means all attractive, so his pastimes are very attractive. Why are people attracted to hearing Ramayana? It's very attractive. They're attracted to hearing stories of Mahabharata. It's very attractive. Krishna is there. Ram is there. It's attractive. It's spiritual. Radha's love for Krishna is there. There are other forms of loving Krishna also. If one is really wrapped up in love for Radha and Krishna, as are the gopis of Vrindavan, then they may even see Narayana and not be particularly dumbfounded by seeing Narayana. What's Narayana doing in a bush of Vrindavan? They don't start to try and work it out. What shastra is that in? Oh, it's in Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't try to work it out. They just think, where is Krishna? So that is a very high platform. We should not deprecate the devotees elsewhere because Krishna loves them. And you may say, well, there's no Radha there. No Radha? You mean Krishna's there and there's no Radha? What is that? I, like probably most others, when I first heard the name of the deities in Delhi, I first came to Delhi in 1977, came to the ISKCON Delhi Center in a rented house in Lajpat Nagar, and heard that the beautiful deities established by Srila Prabhupada there are called Radha Partha Sarati. And like many others hearing that name, I thought, well, that sounds a bit unusual, because Radha is in Vrindavan, and Partha Sarathi, the charioteer of Arjuna, he's not in Vrindavan. It's like they're different Krishnas or different manifestations of Krishna. Achyutananda Swami brought this question up to Srila Prabhupada in 1976 in a conversation. He asked him, the name of the Delhi deities is Radha Partha Sarathi. So how do we understand? Because Partha means Arjuna. So Radha, how does Radha get there? Srila Prabhupada replied, when Krishna is Partha Sarathi, Radha is out of him, does it mean? Then it says here, Indian man, he said, what do you mean? Partha Sarathi is Sri Krishna. Achyutananda, yes. Prabhupada, that's all. Yes. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ahladini Shakti. When he's fighting, the Ahladini Shakti is there. It is not manifest. So the happiness Shakti, of whom the very form is Radha, is there. But it's not she's there, not directly manifest. So she's there, but not manifest. Krishna is there, but not so much manifest. So even Krishna outside Vrindavan is with Radha, at least in a latent sense. As far as the Vrindavan Vasis are concerned, especially the gopis, they have a hard time to understand. How could Krishna go outside Vrindavan? And how all these people, they saw at Kurukshetra, Krishna has an extended family, so many people, ministers and assistants. How can you be attached to Krishna without Radha? It's very difficult for... It doesn't make any sense. How can you have Krishna with... Is it a different Krishna? And looks the same? But for the gopis think that Krishna in Kurukshetra is Krishna, but he's not this, not exactly the same, is he? It's like a diverted interest, Krishna. Now he's thinking of statehood, statecraft, and family. What happened? What happened to him? And now he's talking to us. All this stuff about yoga, meditating on him within the heart. So the gopis spoke one verse, which is a clue to the whole pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami revealed this. We'll find this in the first chapter of... Actually, this verse comes up in the from Bhagavatam, spoken by the gopis at Kurukshetra. It was included in the beginning of the Madhya Leela and again in the beginning of the Antya Leela. Rupa Goswami reveals, and also in the in between, and it's at the 13th chapter, Madhya Leela. This verse speaking, the gopis say, Ahaschate, and they said to Krishna, what did they say to him at Kurukshetra after he tried to placate them? Ahuschate nalena napa padaravindam yogeshvaraya hridi vichintya magadha bodha sangsara kupa patito taranavalambham geham jusham api manas yudhyat sadanaha. The gopis spoke thus. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower. You look the same. It's the same. You have the same lotus navel as you had in Vrindavan. It looks the same. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystics and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts. Although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. So they say that your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Well, we're fallen in the well of material existence. We are samsara kupa patita. We have fallen in the well of material. We are geham jusham. We are attached to our position of family life. And already we found in the Bhagavatam before this, what is that position? Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayoraho hridya granti mahu. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vita erjanasya moho yam ahammameti. Attraction between male and female sets one up with a hard knot on the heart, ties one in material life. From that expands the attachment to home, country, property, money, children, relatives, society, and in this way one is bewildered in this material world, thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. So the gopis say, yeah, that's our position. We're just attached to our material life. Of course, what they're saying is indirectly, is that we're attached to life in Vrindavan. That is our life. That is your life. You're talking to us all this stuff about yoga and how we have to meditate on you in the heart. You are attained by yogis who meditate upon you in the heart, Your feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen in material life. So can you pick us up? Just pick us. Don't tell us to do all this yoga. Just come and save us. That's all. They wanted to bring him back to Vrindavan. This very mysterious utterance of the gopis, which gives a clue about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compelled to come to this world. The love of the gopis is so powerful that just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's by his love in the Rath Yatra, he's pulling the chariot of Jagannath and sometimes pushing from behind. Jagannath, he's sitting on a big chariot, the Lord of the universe, and some sannyasi with just some cloth on, just wearing one cloth. He can make that chariot pull. No one else can control him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forces the chariot to move. Impelled by love, the chariot has to move. By strength, it doesn't work. Well, big, strong men, big, strong elephants, no one can move that chariot. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moves it without any gymnastic feats. Simply by his love, he forces Jagannath to move. So in the same way, Krishna is impelled to take the form of Gaura, impelled by the love of Radha. It's so powerful. She overwhelms Krishna. In a wrestling match, he might win or she might win. But although she takes the role of a very simple village woman, by her power of love, she impels the Supreme Lord to come to this world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So do not underestimate the power of love. She is the supreme shakti. Radha Purna Shakti Krishna Purna Shaktiman Dui Bastu Bed Nai Shastra Paramar. Radha is the supreme shakti, the supreme energy, and Krishna is the supreme reservoir of all power. The two are inseparable according to the version of the scripture. But she, although appearing like a simple village woman, is so powerful that Krishna becomes frustrated in seeing her love for him and finding himself incapable of beginning to appreciate that he is forced to appear in this world as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are some meditations on the glory of Sri Radha. Is it right? Is it wrong? Should we say these things? Probably not. Should we say these things? Yes, we should. What is the right answer? Should we say these things? No, we shouldn't discuss these things. That's correct. Should we say these things? Yes, definitely. That's correct. Who will decide? Marte jan lehoi. Bhajan kara, shadan kara, marte jan lehoi. At the time of death, we shall see if we've been on the right path. In the meantime, we can simply follow in the impressions of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and speak as we feel he is impelling us to do so. You may say, well, Srila Prabhupada didn't give long lectures like this discussing all these things. That's true. That's very true. Of course, he didn't ban giving lectures on these topics. But clearly he came to this world to give this, to give us at least the aspiration to attain to this. Nama Shrestham Manamapi Shachiputram Atrasarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Praising the broad mercy of his guru, says that by the mercy of the guru, I have the opportunity to at least aspire for the best of all holy names, the best of all mantras, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for Swarup Damodar Goswami, for Rupa Goswami, for Sanatana Goswami, for that magnificent land of Mathura Vrindavan. For Radha Kunda, for Govardhan, the best of all hills, for the service of Radha Krishna, Radha Vallabha. This is what we can aspire for. By the mercy of the Guru, we can aspire for these things. So Srila Prabhupada is in the parampara from Raghunath Das Goswami. He came to give the same thing. So we can at least aspire for these things. Not that artificially we jump in, but that aspiration has been planted in our hearts. We may be, by Srila Prabhupada, by giving us all this, this huge treasure, I mean huge from our perspective, there's so many books to read, so many things to understand. So he's planted in our hearts at least the aspiration to attain to this superlative standard of devotional service. So, yes, we should aspire. First deserve, then desire, Srila Prabhupada said. So I may discuss that some more. I'm in the middle of a series of talks facetiously titled No Gopis in ISKCON. So these points are to be discussed more and more and more and more. And as we discuss, the glories of Radha and Krishna are expanding more and more and more. We'll never catch up. So we'll simply bow down at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and pray for their mercy. Mancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritvacha kakushatameta daham bravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat Gauranga Chandra Charane Kurutanuragaha Parivadatu Jano Yatata Tava Nanumakaro Navayang Vicharyama Hari Rasa Madhirama Dati Mata Bhuvi Vilotama Nartama Nirvishama Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna